Everybody wide awake? Sunday school teacher is preparing her students to eventually, you know, come into the main worship service. And so she's telling them all kinds of stuff, what they need to do. And so that when they come into the service, they'll be very well prepared to join the main service. So she asked a question. One of the questions she asked was this: why must we be quiet when the preacher is preaching? Almost immediately, little Johnny raised his hand. And so she said, "Johnny, why?" And she said, little Johnny said, "Well, Mommy said it's to, so that we will not wake people up who are sleeping." So I trust that you will be wide awake. Amen? Listen to the word. It kind of reminds me of the pastor who, you know, was very, very upset with old Jim, who was always sleeping in church. And so one day he decided, you know, that morning he was really upset because Jim was really going for it. I mean, he was really sleeping, mouth wide open, at a time when people didn't wear masks. So he was sleeping, really sleeping. So the pastor said, in between his message, he just stopped and he said, "All those of you who want to go to heaven, please stand." Everybody stood. And they looked around and there was Jim sitting down fast asleep. So the pastor just smiled, told them all to sit down. Then he said in a very loud voice, "All those of you who want to go to hell, stand." And Jim heard it immediately. He stood up. And everybody looked and started to laugh. And Jim looked around and he said, "Pastor, I don't know what we are voting on, but looks like only you and I are standing." So I trust that you will stay wide awake this morning. Want to get into the Word of God. I've been talking about faith, and it is so important for us. I'll tell you why also this morning. That is the main thing that God requires of us. He didn't say without praying, you will not please God. He didn't say without reading the Bible, you will not please God. He said, but without faith, you cannot please God. So the very basis of our entire relationship has to be on faith. For he who comes to God must believe that God actually exists and that he is who he claims to be, God. And that what he has promised, he will fulfill, because God is not a man that he should lie. Come on, amen. I want to pause at this time to offer my condolences to Betty and her family for the passing on of her sister. We conducted the wake for them. Sister had been attending our services off and on, you know, become a part of the family as well. Wonderful lady, went on to be with the Lord. And so that is our great hope. Amen? She's gone on to be with the Lord. But the thing is, faith, not only that you believe that God exists and that God is who he says he is, but that this God wants to reward all those who diligently seek him. And the word diligently can also be consistently seek after him. He will reward. Come on. There is a reward for those who seek after him. Now, this verse is not given to just Christians. It's given to everyone. Everyone who would believe that God is who he is and seek him earnestly will find him. God does not want to play hide and seek games with us. He wants to reveal himself to us, but at the same time, he's also God. And he requires some form of earnestness from us. If there is no earnestness, then he cannot make himself real. But when we really diligently seek him, I'll never forget the time where I knelt down didn't understand anything about what the preacher was saying in that little church. I walked in, sat right at the back, high on whatever I was taking, and I didn't understand a thing, but I realized I was in a desperate condition. If God didn't meet me, I was gone. A lot of suicidal tendencies. My main aim was to die like Jimi Hendrix, die high. My idol. But anyway, It came a time where the preacher said, those of you who want the Holy Spirit, go inside. I didn't understand anything about that. I just went inside, knelt down. They had a metal chair. They didn't have nice, comfortable chairs like this. Never had any air conditioning. So I went inside a little prayer room, and I just knelt down there. I said, Jesus, if you are real, if you are for real, please, please help me. Please help me. I need your help. You must come through. And guess what? He did come in, put his hands upon me. I've never felt the presence of God like that before. I thought, you know, what's this? What's happening? But somebody laid his hands on my life, and I was completely transformed. If you diligently seek him. Now, this morning, I've been talking about different areas of faith. I'd like to talk about consistent faith. Faith that is consistent. I want to use as an example Daniel. This is found in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 1 through verse 28. We're not going to read all of that. But as a young boy, Daniel was captured, brought in as a slave. As a young man, he was separated and tried severely. As a middle-aged man, he was rewarded. As an elder statesman, he was exalted to a high position. This was Daniel's life. But I want us to understand in the next few moments a few things about our faith. A faith, number one, that is consistent will be tested. It will be tested. Your faith will be tested. Daniel chapter 1, verse 12, verse 13. Please test your servants. Faith is willing to be tested, and it will be tested. Now, how many of you know John chapter 10, verse 10? I am come. The thief comes but for to, come on, steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant. And now listen very carefully. Sometimes we misunderstand the scripture. What does the thief come to steal from us? You know, I was sharing with Sister Betty at the wake, and one of the things is, Job says, we will all come to the grave at our full age. It doesn't say at a ripe old age. It says at the full age. And I just happened to mention that you notice that all fruits don't get ripe at the same time. You buy a bunch of bananas, you know which one gets ripe, then you eat that one first, then you wait for the rest to ripen. So some ripen a bit earlier, some ripen a bit later. Some have to go off earlier, some stay later. But when it comes to its full age, then it is taken. So God knows what he's doing, whom to take. We say, sometimes we say a person is so young, they already went on. Jesus was young. He was 33 years old. Come on. But the point is this. We need to understand that as believers, you know, we will all be tested. And our confidence must be solidly based. Consistent faith in God. Consistent faith, you will be tested. You will be tested not because you have a lack of faith, but because you have it. Advertisements that promote, the strength of a mattress and all that are used, you know, where they show you the strength of the mattress. It has gone through severe testing so a steamroller can go over it. Remember that, those advertisements? Guaranteed for life. They put the guy sleeping on a mattress and then a steamroller just going by him and the mattress comes back up again. Why? Because it has gone through the test. The test is to prove how much you know, not how much you don't know. How much strength you have, not how much strength you do not have. Come on, amen. So your consistent faith will be tested and the Savior will be celebrated in it. God has been good. Number two, a faith that is consistent will testify. It becomes a tremendous testimony. It will testify to its foes. In verses 4 and verse 5, it says this, the administrators, the satraps, tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct and government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could not find corruption in him. What a wonderful prime minister he was. Could not find corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. What a testimony. What a testimony. We're trying to find fault with the guy, man, in everything that he's doing. Please listen very carefully. If you work really hard for your bosses, there's no reason for you to be sacked. Bosses love hard workers. They love workers who turn up early and leave late. They want workers who are diligent in what they are doing, who do not steal their time. They pay you for a certain time. You don't sit there and just lep up. Come on. Please listen. As Christians, we must understand this. We need to be a tremendous example wherever we are working so that they cannot find fault in anything that we are doing. Don't during that time, okay, it's time for me to go and pray. It's not the time for you to pray when you're working for your boss. Come on. Amen. One of the great preachers who has gone on to be with the Lord, a man called Dinagaran. Manager, powerfully used by God, was telling all the pastors and workers, he says, listen, I work as a bank manager. Because he was so diligent, they kept him in the same office for many years. Others, they were transferred. Every few years, they transferred, but they kept him. He says, when I walk into the office, it is now my boss's time. I work for the bank. I do not evangelize. I do not try to give tracts. I do not try to talk to people about God. He says, but when it is over, when I finish my working hours, I go outside on the streets, then I start to talk to people about Jesus Christ, but not when I'm in the office. What is he saying? He's saying, be diligent in what you work so they cannot find fault with you. You are the last person they want to sack or dismiss because you are so necessary in your company. Can I hear an amen? It testifies. Your faith will be tested. It will also be a testimony. It testifies to its friends. The king was really, you loved Daniel so much. In verses 13 and 14, it says, the king said, Daniel is one who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you. They came and complained to him, your majesty, or the decree that you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed because he was determined to rescue Daniel. And made every effort until sundown to save him. Verse 18, then the king returned to his palace, spent the night without eating, without entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. May your testimony testify to your friends. Your faith testify to your friends. Where they look at you and they begin to wonder, how is it, in spite of everything, you still maintain your faith in God? That's what they are looking at. See, it is not so much what we say. It's not the talk, but the walk that they want to see. One of the reasons why they find so much of faults with Christians is because they say, you say one thing. You know, why do they say to Christians, you are not supposed to lie? How come you're a Christian, you can do this? How come you're a Christian, can do that? Why? Because we have said we don't do these things. As Christians, we have boasted and said, listen, we are different. We don't lie. We don't cheat. We don't give under the table. We do not bribe. And then when they catch you doing it, they say, you are the ones who said you don't do it. You know, we had a little bit of a problem with our constitution at one time. And the guys came over from the Registrar of Societies, and then they sat down with us in our constitution. And of course, when our church first began, we had just about 15 people, small little group of people. So we said, you know, when we have the AGM, 50%, which was, you know, 7-8 people. And then we changed the constitution where we had about 30 old people, we said 50%. But then we didn't change it after that. We just kept it at 50%. So later on, when you have all our whole congregation close to about 500 Tamil section, Bahasa section, 500 over people, it still said 50%. But in our AGM, you know, this is what you have done. We must bribe you to come. Tell you that there is food outside. Please stay for the AGM. You don't like to come for the AGM. Thank God I have a church like that. And so they came and they said, your registration shows only about 80 people attended, but you said 50%. Your congregation is about 500. You've got something wrong. You wrote the constitution. So you go and change it. Thank God we have Eugene who helped us do the whole thing again and double the church board, which means we have about 20 people. We are happy. But the point is this, as believers, when we say these things, our friends are watching to see whether we walk the talk. Come on, can I hear an amen? It testifies to its foes, it testifies to its friends, it testifies to its focus. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He knew. And in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day, prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. In other words, they watched Daniel and he used to pray three times a day. So they made a decree, you're not supposed to pray. But as usual, Daniel opened his windows. Now, if it were you and me, we'll say, well, since there's a law written, just close the windows so they don't have to see. Why must we allow the windows to be open? But for him, it was a compromise. This is what I've been doing all along. This is what I'm going to continue to do, even at the pain of death. So he opens the window and he continues to pray. Consistent faith. All right? His focus was so set. I thank God, you know, that you guys stayed with us in our focus on building the church. Because right from the beginning, when we started, we faced tremendous opposition. All kinds of things to stop us from having a church in Shah Alam. They began to say, you know, the top guy said in the government here in Selangor, you cannot have a church in Shah Alam because of the way the population is built. You cannot have a church here. But thank God, we got a word in our hearts that God wanted us to have a church. So we kept staying, and we kept staying. And you kept believing God and kept trusting in God. No matter what, you kept praying. Come on, amen? And kept praying. Now, that's what we call testifying to our focus. We remain faithful. We continue to pray. We continue to pray. They said that we will summon you. It is illegal to meet. We've got a file with all the summonses. But we said, no, we are not going to pay because it is our right to continue to worship God. We refuse to pay any of the summonses. I mean, some of you know what we went through. They come on a Monday to give a summon for people parking, and there's not one car there. Not one car on our compound or for illegal parking. A whole van load of MBSA people come. Walk around the place and then say, okay, because summon them for what? Summon them just for the parking. Parking when? They did yesterday. Right? All kinds of summonses. Finally, the guy said, we are going to take you to court. I said, go ahead, take me to court. But there's no way we're going to shut down. We remain focused. Come on, amen. This is what we need to do. In spite of all the rules and regulations that are coming out that came against us, we thank God we remain faithful. Let me just say one more thing. A faith that is consistent will triumph. We will win in the end. So this Daniel prospered. Not any Daniel, but this Daniel. This Daniel who decided he was going to stay the course, who was consistent in his faith, decided. He said, listen, I'm just going to stay the course. Over every adversity, every adversary, he gave himself over to God. Had we submitted to the requirements, had we chosen the easy escape routes, had we chosen a property that was somebody wanted to give us outside of Shah Alam, we would not be where we are today. But we decided to stay the course. It was very tempting, especially when you get pressure after pressure. What shall we do to church? But you know what? It made us stronger because we had all-night prayer meetings. We had prayer meeting after prayer meeting after prayer meeting against, you know, all the things that was coming against us. And now we are here. At one of the pastor's meetings here in Shah Alam, the Presbyterian pastor who has spoken here before, Pastor Caleb, he said, I want to go on record as saying, we want to thank Pastor David. Nothing to brag about, but he just said, I want to thank Pastor David for staying the course. Because he did. Now there are so many churches in Shah Alam. And it's because you guys stayed together. I couldn't have done it, I mean, just by myself. It's just like the whole church stood together and said, we will stay. We will continue to worship. And it is because of your consistency in your faith, trusting that the vision will come to pass, that we have seen it happen. Now the churches begin to say that the building itself, although it's a small little building, we have a small little congregation, they said this is a testimony of how God really answers prayer. Because we don't know any big guns. We don't know any person that can help us the people that we did know who were supposed to be influential refused to help. They said, why don't you just move out of Shalom? Why must it be in Shalom? And I said, well, because the Lord told us to build a church in Shalom. I have to be faithful to what God has called me to do. Amen. And I'm so glad that all of us stayed together. Today, when I keep looking back, you have become a tremendous testimony, not only here, but in so many of the places that I go around the world and minister. I always talk about this, how no matter how hard the ground, you know what? Years ago, when we first began to pray for this place, I prayed a prayer. And this is the prayer I prayed. I said, God, please help us raise up a building where they said it's impossible to raise. You know why? Because I go to places like India, Vietnam, Indonesia, Philippines, where they always will say, the pastors will always come up and say, Pastor, can you pray for us? Because the place where we are in is so hard, you know. Very difficult for us to even have a church. So I said, Lord, please help us to do it so that wherever we go, I can say it is not too hard for God. So that I can honestly say, listen, we've gone through it. I know what you guys are going through. 18 over years, nearly 20 years of just going through it, trusting and trusting and trusting, but consistent faith will always triumph. Can I hear an amen? So I ask you to just continue to believe God in spite of what you are going through. You have to say, God, I trust in you, not in what you can do or, you know, or what you have promised. I just trust in you because I know who you are, that you are good, that you are loving, that you are wise, and that you know what you are doing in my life. For all things will work together for my good if I just continue to trust in you. Amen. Amen. Stand together with me, please.